Well, there we go. Of course, you know what I'm fixing to say next, so here we go. Get your Bibles ready and turn with me, if you will, to where we begin this week's Torah portion. It is chapter 26. We'll start in verse 1 of the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, the last book in the Torah, and arguably the most quoted, certainly the most quoted of all the books of the Bible, of all books, period. During the era of the Revolutionary War, the founders, and the writing of the Declaration and the Constitution and so forth, because there's a lot of stuff in here, including some interesting things that we're going to talk about tonight in this portion, some of which has to do with the land, other parts of which, well, we'll talk about. And I hope you'll find it relevant. That's probably a good way to put it. So it starts like this. And it shall come to pass when you have come in. So ki tavo, into the land which Yahuwah your El is giving you for an inheritance, and you do possess it, and you dwell therein. Well, we're going to do something that is called the Bikurim, the offering of first fruits. And so here's what it says. You shall take of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you shall then bring in from your land that Yahuwah your El is giving you, and you put it in a basket, and you go to the place where Yahuwah shall cause his name to dwell there. So this is the place where nowadays we know that it was, at least at one point, Jerusalem. There were other places in the past. One other place anyway. But the idea is you're going to take these first fruits and offer them to him. And it says it'll come to pass in those days that the Kohen who'll be in those days, you will say to him, and this is interesting because it's an unusual phrasing. It's Rashi notes that it's past tense. I have declared this day unto Yahuwah your El that I have come into the land which Yahuwah swore to our fathers to give us. So interesting. This is essentially when you get into the land. Here's what you will say, and you'll say it in the past tense. And it is the evidence that is being offered, the evidence that Yah is faithful. This is the first fruit. And the Kohen shall take the basket out of your hand, and he sets it down before the altar of Yahuwah your El. And you shall speak, and you shall say before Yahuwah your El, a wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down into Mitzrayim, or Egypt, and he sojourned there, few in number, until he became a great nation, great, mighty, and great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians dealt ill with us and afflicted us, and they laid hard bondage upon us. And we cried unto Yahuwah, Elohim of our fathers, and Yahuwah heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. Now, you notice that even some of the phraseology here about my father was a wandering Aramean sounds a lot like at least some of the readings that we see in the Haggadah, or Haggadah at Passover. And so this is a story that is part of the telling. And it's being told here. We cried unto Yahuwah, Elohim of our fathers, and Yahuwah heard our voice, and he saw our affliction, and our toil, and our oppression. And Yahuwah brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he has now brought us into this place, and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought, so notice again, it's the past tense, even though it is in the future at the point where it's being commanded. He's brought us into this place, given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of that land, which you, O Yahuwah, have given me. And you shall set it down before Yahuwah your El, and worship before Yahuwah your El. So the implication here is, and I think the Rashi comments are kind of fascinating. Essentially what he's saying is this is a farmer. It's somebody who has brought the fruit of the land, and he understands. He is making it clear by his testimony that he understands exactly what's going on, where he is, and how he got here. And it says, here's another one, and I always note when we see this reference, because we're coming up on the fall feast, if there is a single word that is intended to describe the fall feast, it's joy, simcha. And you'll see references and variations on the word sameach, like hag sameach, same root word, the sheen mem kof, and you shall rejoice. No, it's a sheen mem chet, rather. Sorry. In all the good which Yahuwah your El has given unto you and unto your house, you and the Levite and the stranger that's in the midst of you. Now, when you've made an end of tithing all the tithe of your increase in the third year, so this is what's called the third year tithe, the year of tithing, and you've given it to the Levite and to the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be satisfied, then you shall say before Yahuwah your El, I've put away the hallowed things out of my house. In other words, these things that were once dedicated to other fake gods. And I've given them also to the Levite and unto the stranger and the fathers. And things can also be hallowed to him. And, of course, those things are the ones we're going to give to the people who are needing them here. So I've given some of those things to the Levite, the stranger, the fathers, and to the widow, according to all the commandment which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. So Rashi's comment here is that this has to do with the tithes. Otherwise, it would be redundant. I've not transgressed the commandments, nor have I forgotten them. And we're talking about the third year tithes. I've not eaten thereof in my mourning, nor have I put away thereof, or being unclean, nor given them to the dead. I have hearkened, Shema, right, hear and obey, the voice of Yehuamael. I've done according to all that you have commanded me. So look forth from your holy habitation, from Hashemayim, the heavens, and bless your people Israel, and the land which you've given us, as you did swear to our fathers, a land, here it is again, third time in this portion, I think, flowing of milk and honey. This day, it says, Yahuwah Yireel commanded you to do these statutes, right, hukim, and ordinances, ha-mishpatim, and you shall therefore observe to do all of them, with all your heart and with all of your soul. And here's an interesting word, too. You have avouched. That word in Hebrew is ha-amrat, and it's a unique conjugation. You have avouched that Yahuwah this day is your God, and that you would walk in His ways and keep His statutes and His commandments and His ordinances and hearken to His voice. And Yahuwah has avouched, same word, to you this day to be His own treasure, as He's promised you, that you should keep all of His commandments. Notice it doesn't say up until, you know, my son comes and then it's all done away with and we can have bunnies and eggs and all this other pagan crap. Nope. It says keep. Promise. You should keep all of His commandments. To make you high above all the nations that He's made in praise and in name and in glory, that you may be set apart, kadosh, holy, a holy people unto Yahuwah Yireel, as He has spoken. Now the next chapter begins by saying, and Moshe and the elders of Israel commanded the people, and they said the following, keep, there's that word again, shamar, all the commandment which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you pass over the Jordan, the river, across the river, into the land which Yahuwah Yireel has given you, that you shall set up great stones and plaster them with plaster. So we're going to set up some stones, and on those you shall write all of the words of this Torah. When you've passed over, that you may go into the land which Yahuwah is giving you, a land, here it is again, flowing with milk and honey, as Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers has promised you. And it shall be that when you have done this, passed over the Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, which I command you to this day, in Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar unto Yahuwah Yireel, an altar of stones. Do not use an iron tool upon them. Don't lift up a tool on them, right? These are to be unhewn stones. There you shall build the altar of Yahuwah Yireel of unhewn stones, and shall offer on it burnt offerings thereon unto Yahuwah Yireel. And you shall sacrifice shalamim, peace offerings, and shall eat there. And here it is again. You shall rejoice, smeach, Samachat, before Yahuwah Yireel, before the face of Yireel, and there you shall write upon those stones the words, all of the words of this Torah, very plainly. And Moshe and the Kohanim, the priests, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, and they said, keep silence and hear, O Israel, this day you have become, you are, in fact, a people unto Yahuwah Yireel. Now, the Rashi comment here is interesting as well. This is not just a blind obedience, do it. This is in love. You have become literally a people unto Him. So, therefore, you shall hearken to the voice of Yahuwah Yireel to do all of His commandments and His statutes, which I command you this day. The common thread here is not just keep, observe, do, but it is to do so in love. Why? Because of the things that He's done, which the farmer and has demonstrated His understanding. That's why we do it. Right? Remember what Yeshua says? I think this is probably the most simple statement of the whole grace versus love and obedience thing and the answer to all those who say the law is done away with. No, it's not. Right? Yahushua says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And ultimately it is that simple. Moshe then charged the people that same day, and he said the following, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you've passed over the Jordan." So he's going to name two groups by tribes, and the first one going to stand on Mount Gerizim. That would include Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now remember, Joseph contains the two sub-tribes, his two sons' tribes. And these other six shall stand upon Mount Ebal to represent or for the curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the sons of Israel with a loud voice. And here are going to come some commandments that basically are in the form of curses. And each time, the last verse, the last word in the verse, or the last sentence in the verse says, "And all the people shall answer and say." So if you'd like, go ahead wherever you're sitting, and when I finish, say with me, "Amen." So here we go. Verse 15, "Cursed be the man that makes a graven or a molten image, an abomination unto Yahuwah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret." And all the people shall answer and say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that dishonors his father or his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that makes the blind go astray in the way." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Now, let me pause here. We've seen a bunch of these. That last one kind of really brings the case home. Rashi's comment on this one, too, is interesting. And I've always thought this is kind of fascinating, because there are some... we know about the Ten Commandments. We know about the various curses that are going to come up. There were some in Leviticus. We're having the most famous set probably in all of Scripture in this Torah portion. And here are some curses that precede them. And they kind of have to do with, but they're not one-for-one correspondence to the Ten Commandments or the kinds of things there, although they clearly overlap. But Rashi's comment is, what makes these unique, if you look at them and understand them, he suggests, it's that all of them have to do with things that are done in secret. And the first one even says so, man that makes an molten or abomination of an image and sets it up in secret. All right, removes his neighbor's landmark. Well, obviously that would be done in secret. If it's not in secret, the neighbor's going to come and say, "Hey, it's moved," and move it back. "Cursed be he that makes the blind go astray." Well, the same thing. If a blind man knows you're leading him astray, he's not going to try to follow, even though he may not have as much choice because he's blind. But these are things done in secret. The next one says, "Cursed be he that perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Now notice, this is done openly today, but most of the press won't report on it, so you can still argue that this perversion of justice that's going on so wholesale in the U.S. is secret, to the extent that I guarantee you the black robe priests of Satan won't tell you that that's what they're doing. They're going to lie about it. "Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's skirt." Notice it doesn't say mother. Could be his father's other wife or wives as well. But regardless, they're all, it says, because they're all under his skirt. It's an uncovering of the father's skirt or his covering. And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast." So yet another prohibition on bestiality. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Which makes me wonder, right, how long until they're teaching this in kindergartens? And thankfully, it's backed off a bit over the last 9 months at this point. But don't think for a second that they've given up, folks, because it's still on the agenda. All right, finally, "Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." So half-sister or full-sister. "Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that smites his neighbor in secret." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that takes a bribe to slay an innocent person." That certainly rings true this week, doesn't it? And all the people shall say, "Amen." And finally, and this is a more general, interesting be noticeable on this one. "Cursed be he that confirms not," in other words, that does not confirm "all the words of this Torah to do them." And all the people shall say, Amen. So the commentary here is that the way to rephrase that last one in particular is that we are to strengthen Torah. In other words, our actions are part of the way we do that. And we are to do so even in the sight of those who do not walk in His obedience. It's important that we do, even if others don't. Then we get to chapter 28. Now, chapter 28, of course, is one of the more dramatic and memorable in the book when it comes to blessings and curses. And before we go through the blessings and the curses, I'll note one of the things that should be pretty obvious, but we're going to see it real clearly here. The blessings are the beginning. And then we're going to get a set of curses, and the curses are almost, at least for a while, the negation of the blessings. You're going to see it, and in some cases, it's almost word for word. It's turn it upside down, and that's the curse. But you're going to note one other thing as well. The blessings are grossly, vastly outnumbered by the curses. In terms of text and lines, for sure. So, it says, it shall come to pass if you shall diligently hearken, shamar, unto the voice of Yehoyarel, to observe to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, then Yahuwah shall set you high above all the nations of the earth. Once upon a time, folks, that was true of the United States. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. In other words, you won't even be able to outrun them. They're going to be so multiple. If you shall hearken unto the voice of Yehoyarel. So here we go. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country or in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your land, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the young of your flock. Everything that gives forth life is blessed. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And Yahuwah will cause your enemies that try to rise up against you to be smitten before you. They shall try to come in you. They'll come out against you one way, but they will flee before you seven ways. So they come in, they scatter. Yahuwah will command the blessing with you in your barns and all that you put your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which Yehoyarel is giving you. And Yahuwah will establish you for a set apart, kadosh, holy people unto Himself, if, notice how there's a conditional here. It's real clear. He says it three times. Or in this case, it's actually not if, it's really key. And I think that's an interesting distinction. I've got it highlighted in my Hebrew. So the English gets translated the same way, but in this case it's he will do these things that, or because, you shall keep the commandments of Yehoyarel and walk in His ways. So yeah, it's conditional. But in this case, as you understand the meaning of the word that, you get the blessings, and it is a requirement that you therefore keep your end of the deal. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that the name of Yahuwah is called upon you. That's a key thing. The name of Yahuwah is called upon you. Notice most of Christianity, most of the whore church, they don't even know His name. They don't know His Son's name either. They don't know what the salvation that He's talking about is because they don't know His name. And it's interesting that we see places in Scripture like in Joel, whoever calls upon the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. They quote the verse, but they get the name wrong. They even think it's Jesus. Well, it's never appeared in the Bible for 16 centuries. So this idea of the name of Yahuwah being called is important because we generally pray that we would be called by His name. And those peoples, these other peoples of the world, they will be afraid of you. And Yahuwah will make you overabundant for good in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land, all the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers to give you. And He will open unto you His good treasure, Hashemayim, the heavens, to give the rain of the land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And Yahuwah will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. Key, that you shall hearken unto the commandments of Yehoyarel, which I command you this day, to observe them and to do them. And you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, not to the right hand nor to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it'll come to pass, if you will not hearken, Now, this case, it is Eam. If you will not hearken unto the voice of Jehoiarel, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, as I go through this, we'll start with the ones that are the negations. And then when we get to some of the more intricate ones, let me comment just a bit, because I think you can see them. They're already becoming evident. So we had the blessed you shall be in the city, blessed you shall be in the country. And it says this, cursed you shall be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And Yahuwah will send upon you cursing, discomfiture, rebuke in all that you put your hand to until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the evil of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. Yahuwah will make pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off of the land that you go in to possess it. Wow. Okay, but we're just getting rolling. Like I said, these curses continue to go on. We've got the negation. Now we're seeing the rest. Yahuwah will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat, and with drought, with blasting and mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heaven that's over you shall be like brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. If you ever tried to dig in a field that's like iron, you know what this is a reference to. Yahuwah will make the rain of the land turn to powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. So you may get some storms, there'll be dust storms. Yahuwah will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You go out one way against them, and you flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses shall be food for all the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. Yahuwah will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with the emerods and the scab and the itch, things whereof you cannot be healed. Yahuwah will smite you with madness. Wait a second. Does that sound like something you can flip on TV and see on MSNBC or CNN or any of the leftist rags? The nutcases? The View? You think that the United States hadn't been smitten with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart? We saw that this week. You shall grope at noonday, just as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and you shall not make your ways prosperous, but instead you'll only be oppressed and robbed always, and there will be no one to save you. You shall betroth the wife, and another man will take her, lie with her. You shall build a house, and you'll not dwell in there. You shall plant a vineyard, and you will not use the fruit of it. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. And your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face. And I suspect, folks, that rings true in both the Old English and the Modern English. And you shall not be restored. He shall not be restored unto you, or she in this case. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have no one. It's the third time that's been said, to save you. Your sons and your daughters, they'll be given to another people. And your eyes will look and fail with longing for them all the day. And there shall be no one, nothing, in the power of your hand. The fruit of the land, all your labors, well, a nation that you know not will eat those up. And you shall only be oppressed and crushed always, so that you shall be mad for the sight of your own eyes, which you shall see. Are we there yet? We're certainly seeing a lot of this, aren't we? Yahuwah will smite you in the knees and the legs with sore boils, things from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Yahuwah will bring you and the king whom you shall set over you unto a nation that you have not known, not you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods, gods of wood and stone. And I guess nowadays I would say stone seems to me to include a silica. Silica is a form of stone, right? We got lots of silicon gods now. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the peoples where Yahuwah shall lead you away. You'll carry much seed out into the field and gather a little in, because the locust will eat it up. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but neither shall you drink of the wine nor gather in the grapes, because the worm will eat those. You shall have olive trees throughout all your borders, but you won't anoint yourself with their oil, because your olives will drop off. You'll beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, because they'll end up going into captivity. All your trees and the fruit of your land, well, the locust will eat those. The stranger that's in the midst of you shall mount up above you, higher and higher. Does that sound like the immigrant invasion? And you shall come down lower and lower. He will lend to you. Matter of fact, he'll even get your goodies as Obama phones and all kinds of wonderful stuff, right? And you not lend to him, he shall be the head and you shall be the tail. It's important, I think, to ask, did we get a reprieve or is it just a respite and are we heading back? Well, we'll see. But the curses are still here, folks. And what we seem to have had is just a chance to take a breather. All these curses, it says, shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed. Because you did not hearken, key, right? Because you did not hearken unto the voice of Jehoiarel to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Well, wait a minute. The whole church told us they're done away with. We got better feasts. We don't keep Sabbath anymore. We don't eat what he says is food. We don't do what he says does. We cut the genitalia off little boys and little girls. We abort kids and we sacrifice to fake gods. We got our little shrines. We got our little men on a stick. We got all kinds of things. What's wrong with all that? He says, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you till you're destroyed because you did not hearken to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you and said he wasn't changing. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and upon your seed forever because you did not serve Jehoiarel with joyfulness. There's that word simcha again. With gladness of heart by reason of the abundance of all things. May Rav Kol, from Rav Kol, all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemy whom Yahuwah shall send against you, in hunger, in thirst, and in nakedness, and in the want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. And Yahuwah will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as a vulture swoops down, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Multiple candidates kind of come to mind, don't they? A nation of fierce countenance that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you're destroyed, and also shall not leave you with any corn or wine or oil, the increase of your kind or the young of your flock, until he has caused you to perish. And he shall besiege you in all your gates until your high and fortified walls come down, things wherein you trusted, throughout all your land, and he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all the land which Jehoiarel has given you. Now notice, folks, and this is key and it's worth pointing out, what we started with here is these are curses that will afflict you if you go into the land. And obviously, what happened? Well, we're not in the land anymore. This has, at least in part, and in varying degrees of fulfillment, come to pass. We're no longer in the land. So the question I ask, and this is why I've been going through and saying, isn't it interesting? Some of these things certainly appear. So do the curses still apply even when we're not in the land? I can't help but think, well, the answer is kind of obvious, isn't it? But listen to this and ask yourself, how about the flavonoids that have been talked about from aborted children? You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom Jehoiarel has given you, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewithin your enemies shall straiten you. In other words, there is a time of a siege, right? And during a siege, food gets pretty scarce. And so he's talking about eating sons and daughters during a time of literally famine. But it's interesting to me that we've seen elements of this, even though we haven't seen that degree of famine yet. The man that's tender among you, real delicate, sounds like an LGBTQ guy, his eye shall be evil against his brother and against the wife of his bosom and against the remnant of his children whom he still has remaining, so that he won't even give any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. Wow. Okay, these are some of the nastier curses in the whole thing. In other words, you got a guy here who is tender, very delicate. You wouldn't think he'd be the kind that would eat kids. But he's going to be so craven that he won't even give any of the flesh of his own children whom he's going to eat because he doesn't have anything left to him. In the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in all your gates. How about the tender and delicate woman among you? She's so proper. Who wouldn't adventure to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of the delicateness and tenderness that she has? Well, her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom and against her son and against her daughter. Even against the afterbirth that comes out from between her feet. and against her children whom she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly. Ugh. In the straitness and the siege, wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in your gates. So this sounds like a pretty nasty siege and famine. The promise? Eam. If you will not observe to do kol, all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and fearful name, the name, what name? Yod, He, Vav, He, Yahuwah, Eloheka, Yorel. How poignant is this? Observe to do all the words of this Torah. Okay, the whole church says it's done away with, nailed to the cross. Well, the whole church has been kicked out. It's still in exile for exactly this reason. How about the name that we're supposed to fear, the glorious and awful name, Yahuwah Eloheka? Again, most of the whole church doesn't have a clue. They've never heard the name. Or if they have, they hear some variant of it and then they're told, oh, it's not important. Capital letter Lord is better. Wrong. There is so much about this, folks, that should resonate. And the fact that the curses have come upon us because we are in exile. So we've seen that. Not everybody was destroyed. There was, of course, a remnant that remains. But here we are, still in exile. Let's see what it continues to say. Notice it's building kind of to a head here. And there's one that I always point out, especially of the last few years. This is Yahuwah who will make your plagues wonderful. Well, amazing, I guess is another way to put it. Fauci-like, even. And the plagues of your seed, even great plagues of long continuance, sore sicknesses, and of long continuance, like long COVID. Things that last a long time. And he will bring back upon you all of the diseases of Egypt, Mitzrayim, things of which you were just plain scared to death of, and they shall cleave unto you. But wait, there's more. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not even written in this book of the Torah. What? How could that be? Oh, like you mean new bioweapons? New variants of COVID? New bioweapons that didn't even exist when the book was written because they were designed with designer mRNA and DNA and CRISPR and all these bioweapon technologies combining pig genes so that they would cross the species barrier, produce all kinds of wonderful and amazing and Fauci-like plagues? Yeah, every sickness, every plague, which is not even written in this book of the Torah, those will Fauci, will Yahuwah bring upon you until you are destroyed. He just allows the Faucis and the other sick, putrid sons of Satan to be his instruments in bringing forth this evil in response to curses. And I have always thought if there's anything in this section that ought to leap out at you and say, wait a minute, is this something that finally will start to resonate with people? Understand, we're talking about designer diseases and bioweapons that didn't even exist until the last few years. Your tax dollars at work. There in Ukraine where they were developed and shipped to Wuhan and from North Carolina and other labs. This is satanically evil stuff. But it's a promise that has been earned. And it shall be that you are left few in number, whereas you were once like the stars of heaven for multitude, because, what? You did not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah Yirel. And it'll come to pass that just as Yahuwah rejoiced, there's that word again, that root word simcha, over you to do good and to multiply you, so will he rejoice over you to cause you to perish and to destroy you. And you shall be plucked from off the land whether you go in to possess it. And Yahuwah shall scatter you among all the peoples from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. And there you shall serve other gods. And indeed, that is exactly what the whore church is doing and the whore synagogue. Gods which you have not known, not you nor your fathers, even gods of wood and of stone. And I'll add it again. Stone seems to include silicon, doesn't it? And among these nations shall you have no repose. Now notice the word there is goyim, other nations. And there shall be no rest for the sole of your foot, but Yahuwah shall give you there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and a languishing of soul. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear night and day and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you'll say, oh, sure wish it was evening. And at evening you'll say, oh, sure wish it were morning. For the fear of your heart which you shall fear. And this is an interesting word. It's Pachadat. Pachad. Fear. And its first use and the second use, bang, bang, right here in these two verses. Fear night and day. And this fear which you shall fear, for the sight of your own eyes, things which you shall see. And Yahuwah will bring you back into Egypt in ships, by the way whereof I said to you, you shall see it no more again. What? And there you shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondsmen and for bondswomen, and no man leaving by you. These are the words, it says, of the covenant which Yahuwah commanded Moshe to make with the B'nai Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So, a set of downright astonishing blessings, and of course, converse cursings and worse. The last chapter here, the last part of the chapter that completes the portion, says, Now Moshe called unto all Israel, and he said unto them, You've seen all that Yahuwah did before your eyes, in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all of his servants, and unto all his land. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. And Yahuwah has not given you a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Right? Hasn't done that. And I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes, they didn't get old. They didn't wax old upon you. Your shoe did not wax old upon your foot. In other words, your sandals didn't even wear out. You've not eaten bread, nor have you drunk strong wine or strong drink, that you might know that what? Ki ani Yahuwah Elohekem. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And then he says, reminding us again about Og and Sihon, when you came into this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us in battle, and we kicked butt and took names. We smote them. We took their land, gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of the Manassehites. So therefore, he says, observe, here's that root word, shamar, it's the yal plural form, shamartim, observe therefore the words of this covenant. And this is the last verse in the portion. Observe the words of this covenant and do them, that you might make all that you do to prosper. So it ends with a kind of an up note, and that's one of the ways that the sages tended to divide these Torah portions, was after a particularly negative place like that, that we get at least a bit of an up note. Observe to do, that these things might go well.